I invite you now to stand for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which is the traditional story of Epiphany, the story of the Magi, taken from the gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard of this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they laid down and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O God, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, the words of my mouth, would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. On Wednesday of this week, we mark the day of Epiphany with a capital E. In our Protestant North America, the day of Epiphany easily gets lost in the busyness of our lives. In fact, Epiphany is the end of our 12 days of Christmas. And in many cultures, it's celebrated as King's Day or Little Christmas. And it's as big a celebration as our December 25th is. The traditional story of Epiphany is the coming of the Magi, the visit of the astrologers in search of the newborn king. In fact, Epiphany is a very important part of our Christmas story because it reminds us that the incarnation, God coming to dwell with us, that gift was not only for the Jews, but was for the Gentiles. Truly, the birth of Christ was for all people. And so we remember Epiphany on this Sunday so that we don't lose sight of the importance of that mystery and of that gift of Christmas, that Christ came into the world, the light came into the darkness, and it was a light for the whole world. It was a light for all people. And Epiphany with a small e is one of those times when you have an aha moment, when it's like the light goes off. You finally get something. It's something, a moment, a reality breaks into your current life, into your current reality, and all of a sudden, everything is changed. For the world, Christ coming, born as a babe in a manger, was an epiphany for the world. Everything changed. The past was reinterpreted, and as they looked to the future was guided by that moment of that divine birth. It was a life-changing moment. In our own lives, we have those aha moments. Perhaps it was when you came to realize how important Jesus was to your life, that Jesus was your Savior. Perhaps it was something else in your life where all of a sudden you saw the light. All of a sudden everything changed, and it helped you to understand your past, but it especially helped you to plan for your future. The church, the congregation, has had epiphany moments all through its reality. There have been moments where life has changed, And of course, Christmas changed forever the world. But also in the institutional church, there are moments of epiphany when all of a sudden the church realizes with a new vigor its importance and its vision. Our congregation has had many epiphany moments. And I think your decision to celebrate with our celebration center was one of those epiphany moments. It helps us to reevaluate our past, but also helps us to shape our future. So think about your own lives. Have there been moments when all of a sudden everything changes, where all of a sudden life is new and different? Paul Harvey, who was a radio broadcaster, every Christmas, every year at noon on his Christmas radio show, shared a story. He called it a Christmas story, but in fact, it's an epiphany story, because in this story that I'm going to share with you, everything changed for the main character, for the man in this story. And this is Paul Harvey's story, and perhaps you've heard it. It's the story of the man and the geese. The man and the geese. Geese. There once was a man who didn't believe in God, and he didn't hesitate to let others know how he felt about religion and religious holidays, especially Christmas. His wife, however, did believe, and she raised their children to also have faith in God and in Christ, despite his disparaging comments. One snowy Christmas Eve, his wife was taking their children to the Christmas Eve service in the farm community in which they lived. And she asked her husband to come, but of course he refused. "That story is nonsense," he said. "Why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous." So she and the children left, and he stayed at home. A while later, the winds grew stronger and the snow seemed to be turning into a blizzard. And as the man looked out his window, all he saw was a blinding snowstorm. He sat down to relax before the fire for the evening. Then he heard a loud thump. Something had hit the window. Then another thump. He looked out, but he couldn't see more than a few feet. When the snow finally let up a little, he ventured outside to see what could have been beating on his window. In the field near his house, he saw a flock of wild geese. Apparently, they had been flying south for the winter when they got caught in the snowstorm and couldn't go on. They were lost and stranded on his farm, with no food and no shelter. They just flapped their wings and flew around the field in low circles, blindly and aimlessly. A couple of them had flown into his window, it appeared. The man felt very sorry for the geese, and he wanted to help them. His barn would be a great place for them to stay, he thought. It's warm and safe. Surely they could spend the night and wait out the storm. So he walked over to the barn and opened the doors wide, then watched and waited, hoping that they would notice the open barn and go inside. But the geese continued to just flutter around aimlessly and didn't seem to notice the barn or realize what it could mean for them. The man tried to get their attention, but they just seemed too scared. It just seemed that he scared them, and they moved further away. The man went into the house and came out with some bread. He broke it up and made a breadcrumb trail leading to the barn. And they still didn't catch on. Now the man was getting very frustrated. He got behind them and he tried to shoo them toward the barn, but they only got more scared and scattered in every direction except toward the barn. Nothing he did could get them to go into the barn where they would be warm and safe. "Why don't they follow me?" he explained. "Can't they see that this is the only place where they can survive the storm?" He thought for a moment and realized that they just wouldn't follow a human being. "If only I were a goose, then I could save them," he said out loud. Then he had an idea. He went into the barn, got one of his own geese, and carried it in his arms as he circled around behind the flock of wild geese. He then released his goose. His goose flew through the flock and straight into the barn, and one by one, the other geese followed it to safety. The man stood silently for a moment as the words he had spoken a few moments earlier to his wife replayed in his mind. If only I were a goose, then I could save them. Then he thought about what he had said to his wife earlier. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. Suddenly it all made sense. That is what God had done. We were like geese, blind, lost, perishing. God sent his own son, Jesus, to become like us so he could show us the way and save us. That was the meaning of Christmas, the man realized. As the winds and blinding snow died down, his soul became quiet and pondered this wonderful thought. Suddenly, he understood what Christmas was all about, why Christ, the Messiah, had come. Years of doubt and disbelief vanished like the passing storm. He fell to his knees in the snow and prayed his first prayer ever. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm. That was an epiphany. The light went off. He realized how important it was that God became man and that God came to live among us as Jesus. For that man now, everything had changed in his life. He had had an epiphany. The scriptures that were read this morning are all about epiphany. For epiphany is that season of light, that season when we truly see God clearly or most clear. The passage from Isaiah that Janice read this morning is from the history of the people of Israel. They had for a very long time lived in a time of deep darkness and despair. They had lived through the exile in Babylonia. But now, King Cyrus of Persia had issued a decree and they could go home. They could go back to Jerusalem. And so they trekked back to their homeland. They came back to their city, only to see more despair, more darkness, more destruction. For Jerusalem was in ruins. But the prophet Isaiah says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes." If only they would not look at the reality around them, but see the glimmer of light, the glimmer of hope, if only they might see God's glory at work, everything would look different. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Isaiah was saying that even though it was a time of deep darkness, it wasn't total darkness. There was always that glimmer of hope. There always was that promise of God's power and God's grace. And not only if they would lift up their eyes and see it, if they would claim it, then they would have that hope and joy that God wanted for them. And if they would arise and shine, others would see God's glory. Others would see God's power. And others would come to the light that they would reflect the light of God back there in their homeland of Jerusalem. Isaiah's words in the end of his writing remind me so much of the beginning of the Gospel of John. This is John's prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. When you lift up your eyes and you see the glory of God and you see that grace, your life is changed. It's an epiphany moment. But it's not a light that you're called to hide under a bushel. It's a light that you're called to shine. Jesus himself says in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and let others see that light in your good works. The Magi had seen a great light. They had seen a star. It was a cosmic event. And they dared to leave their home and leave their livelihoods and leave their families to travel long distance in search of what that star represented, the newborn king. An earlier tradition would have there be 12 astrologers who left their home to caravan with their supplies and their servants, perhaps weeks or even months following that star. We have the tradition, of course, of three kings, partly from our carols, but also as early as the 4th century, those kings were given a name. They were given a name and a description. There was Melchior, who was an older man with white hair and a long beard, and Gaspar, who was younger and beardless with a ruddy complexion. And then there was Balthazar, who was always depicted as black-skinned and heavily bearded. And the gifts they brought were also spiritualized. Gold was a symbol of royalty, frankincense a symbol of divinity, and myrrh a symbol of death. But it matters little whether there were 12 astrologers or three kings or how many gifts or how many camels. What really matters to the story is what the Magi did. And what the Magi did was that they were people that were sincere and persistent. Sincere and persistent. They did not give up. They knew that a newborn king had come, and they would continue as long as that journey would take them. They were persistent. They sought out the newborn king. And they were guided by God. They were guided by God first by that star in the night that showed them the way and how it was that they were to journey. And then they were guided by God when the scribes under Herod's thumb read for them the scriptures that the king would be born in Bethlehem. And then they were also guided at the end of that story by a dream. God gave them a dream to bypass Jerusalem, bypass Herod, and go home by another road. The Magi were persistent, they were sincere, and they were guided by God. And when they found the baby Jesus in the house with Mary and Joseph, they knelt down and worshiped him. They offered him gifts, and then they left to witness to the good news. They had found the King of the Jews, the newborn child, the baby Jesus. The shepherds, of course, were the first witness to that wonderful good news. But the kings, the magi, the astrologers, they too were witnesses to the baby born in a manger. But they were Gentiles. They were from another place. The story of the magi, that story of Epiphany, reminds us that Jesus truly came for all people, not just to the Jews, but to the people of the world. The light that shined in the darkness was the light of all people. There's a wonderful Christmas song that I have always appreciated. And it was written in October of 1962. And it was written by Noel Regney and his wife, Gloria Shane Baker. And a record producer asked this couple if they might write a Christmas song. And they were very hesitant because they were really aghast about the commercialization of Christmas. And so for a while, they did not respond to the record producer. But finally, they decided to write this Christmas song. And it was at the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so they wrote this song as a cry for peace. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Some of the Israelites returning to Jerusalem after the exile only saw the destruction of the great city, and they couldn't see the glory of God, the hope, the joy, and they continued to walk in darkness, even though the light had come. Some in the early church couldn't grasp the mystery of the incarnation, that God became one of us, just like us, to save us all, Jews and Gentiles together. And for centuries, the debate around inclusion continued, even to this day. Not everyone saw that star that holy night. Herod and the Sanhedrin missed it. The people of Bethlehem must have missed it too, or they would have crowded into that home to see the newborn king. Like Babushka, most of us are too busy with our own agendas to see the wonder of what God is doing in our very midst. We have to look up, we have to listen, and then we have to respond. We have to see the light. We hopefully will have that epiphany, and then we need to let the light shine. And then not only our lives will be changed, but the world around us as well. Amen.